This episode is brought to you by Garden Cult, Garden Design and Coaching. For a 15% discount on virtual garden consultations and coaching sessions, use code HRN15. Learn more at gardencult.com.
Hello, this is Lisa Held, and you're listening to The Farm Report, a Heritage Radio Network show about the people, processes, and policies that shape how food is produced today. Before the pandemic, online shopping was on the rise in nearly every category, including food. Then, COVID-19 came along and accelerated that shift. Along with increases in online grocery shopping via big retailers like Amazon and restaurant orders placed via delivery apps, many small farms also move their local market sales or community-supported agriculture memberships onto digital platforms. Today's guest is Lindsay Lesher-Shute, the farmer owner of Hardy Roots Farm in the Hudson Valley and the creator of a new cooperative digital platform for farmers. We're going to talk about how Grown By is different from other platforms and what she hopes it can do for farmers and the broader food system in the future. Lindsay, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Lisa.
So first of all, how is the season going at Hardy Roots?
We are having a great season so far. I'm pleased to report. Yeah, the weather has more or less cooperated really well, and we just completed our second week of CSA. We usually start our deliveries to the city. We have CSA sites in New York City and in the Hudson Valley region. We started those the first week of June, so we're 2 weeks into it now. It's still kind of crazy as everyone adjusts to that new distribution schedule. But yeah, it's going well.
And are you still seeing kind of the increased demand that you were seeing last year when COVID-19 hit?
Well, it's certainly stronger than it was a couple of years ago. It's not the same kind of fervor that there was during COVID-19, where our farm store, in addition to doing CSA, we also have a farm store on site here. And last spring, our sales were 30 times higher than they were the previous season. We ended up basically being a distribution hub for farms around the region, and we all did, contact-free delivery and pre-orders and the like. So we've been able to open up the store again to the community, which has been really awesome, but we don't have that same kind of intense demand. And the CSA, we're actually sold out now, but it took, I don't know, probably a month. We have 1,000 CSA shares that we sell every season. So it took about a month to fill up our membership. This year, last time around, it was 2 weeks. We filled up in some sites, sold out in a day. So we haven't seen quite the demand, but it's still really strong. And I think last year's COVID experience really helped people recognize the amazing food that they have right down their street in the case of our farm and our neighbors, but just in their region generally. It helped a lot of people just experience local food. And I think many of those customers are returning because they were really pleased with their experience.
Right. And in a way, it's probably better for you for it not to be like total insanity with 30 times the demand, right? That you have to be like struggling to keep up.
It was amazing. It kind of gave us a glimpse into what a really strong, vibrant local food system could be like, right? With scale. Yeah. We're still such a small portion overall of the American food budget, talking about local food, right? And last year showed us what it could be like, what if we doubled that, for instance? And that was really exciting. And I think we need to figure out a more gradual way to get there. But in the moment, it was both like thrilling and exciting to be able to, have so much demand for our own products, but also to be able to create a market for so many of our friends and you know, regionally, the farms in the Hudson Valley to be able to sell through our store. What really was kind of the killer for us was just all the packing and you know, all of the cardboard. I mean, we were ordering like pallets of cardboard boxes and bags, and the logistics of doing that was really tough. And, you know, just to deal with the COVID protocols on top of it all, both for our workers doing the packing, and just for, you know, how we were doing delivery and whatnot. So we're pretty glad to be over that part of it, but hoping that we can look at COVID as sort of a benchmark. Like, how do we get back to that level of demand generally for local food?
Right. And maybe be more prepared for it. Right, not exactly. Not have it just hit you out of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, in the midst of all of that, you were also working on developing Grown By and
that's
the
right.
Farm Generations Co-op. So let's talk about that. I was thinking a lot about this before recording, and I was thinking, you know, that there are quite a few companies at this point developing sales tech for farmers. There's some sort of ones that have been around a long time that have changed, like Farmigo, and then there's Local Food Marketplace and Barn to Door. But I couldn't think of one that was created by an actual working farmer. I could be wrong. Do you think you're the first?
Well, there's one other company, GrazeCart, that focuses on software products for livestock farmers in particular.
Oh, okay.
But other than GrazeCart, yes, I think we are the only other company out there that is certainly doing a broad-based direct sales platform for local farms, selling direct with in-person pickups and eventually with home delivery. The scope of what we're doing, we are the only company out there that is founded and presently run by a working farmer, but I can say that we are the only company that is cooperatively owned. So the only company that is actually giving the opportunity for our farmers to become owners of the platform.
Right. And you said earlier, I think in an email to me, that, you know, part of your idea was that you want to make sure farmers are not the next gig workers. Can you unpack that a little bit? Is the co-op model, is that why you're using the co-op model to avoid that? And what do you mean by that?
Yeah, that's exactly right. The cooperative model is incredibly important for Farm Generations and Grown By for a couple of reasons. Number one, I mean, co-ops have a long history in agriculture, and it immediately communicates trust and transparency and partnership. And that's really important to us with Grown By and Farm Generations, is that we are a software company that's not in it, you know, just to make profits and,
right,
you know, create sort of this hockey puck, as they say, scalable model that's, you know, going to have 10x returns in 10 years. I mean, we want the company to do well, but the idea here is that we are cooperative, working together, farmers working together for mutual benefit. That's like the core principle of a cooperative. And that's really what we're here for, to grow the local food system together. And the other reason that it's critical is really something that we're seeing in other industries too, where you have technology come in and disrupt existing systems. Maybe that there's opportunities to make things a little bit more efficient or faster, and these companies end up then really disrupting livelihoods, right?
Mm-hmm.
And incomes and what were once stable and good jobs. So you've seen that with like Uber and Lyft being a prime example, where taxi drivers are suddenly considered gig workers. They don't know the wages that they're going to make. They don't know when they're going to have volume and not. They're suddenly not in control of the job that really once supported them and their families in a good way. And so you're seeing a movement of platform cooperatives across the world. There's a new group in New York City called the Drivers Cooperative. That's kind of in the same vein here, where workers are coming together to build their own platform. So that, you know, we recognize we can be more efficient. We can help consumers, and let's build fairness into the equation. So we're both meeting the needs of, in the case of the drivers co-op, you know, the riders and the drivers.
Right.
So for Farm Generations, that's exactly what we're doing. We want to create a software solution platform that through Grown By makes it easier for both the consumers to shop locally and see what's available locally and place orders. It makes it easier for the farmers to track those orders and communicate with their customers. And so you have software doing the best that it can, but also built into this is fairness. So 95% of every dollar that a consumer is spending on Grown By at least is going to the farm that you're buying from. And you see, you can see, and this has already happened to some degree, where a company will say, you know, we're supporting local farms and, you know, do home delivery or whatnot. And then, you know, the selling point is we're giving 50% of the food dollar to farmers. And that might be, you know, to a farm like ours, we're used to getting the vast majority of
the majority,
food dollar to our farm, right? We've built our entire business based on this model where that of direct sales, where, you know, at least 90%+ is going to Hardy Roots Farm, to our workers, and helping us make choices as a farm that we feel really good about. So that's part of it too. It's making sure that we have the best technology as a community, that we are creating convenience, that we're making it easy to shop local, and those farmers are being taken care of. So there's not some disruption that really erodes their long-term viability as producers.
Right. And I mean, in this market, I mean, that really could be a reality, that it would erode their viability if they were only getting 50%, right? Like, the margins are so slim when you're talking about small farms that are producing food sustainably and selling it locally. They, like, 50% is I would say not enough, right? In order to make a profit. Or,
well, it just, it depends. I mean, there are some farms where, you know, 50% would be considered good because they're highly scaled, right? And they're meant for that, you know, grocery store shelf or wholesale production. And they have the scale to support, you know, a much lower price per item, whatever that might be. But farms like ours, we are built for direct sales. We don't have that scale. We're growing on 100 acres. That's much different than a farm growing on 1,000 acres with a, you know, a team of 100 workers. It's a different scale of agriculture that is very important to support on a regional basis. COVID, of course, being a great example of why you want to make sure that we're not depending on farms from across the country, but we have farms down the street that are there for us. And that's the, you know, mid to smaller size scale farms that really depend on those direct sales. And that's what Farm Generations and Grown By is all about, making sure that we have a fair market for those producers.
Mm. And what does it mean that the farms are also owners of the company? Like, you're saying they're getting more, they're getting a high percentage of the sale of their items. But is there also a financial benefit? Like, if the company makes money, do the farmers all then make money?
Yes, that's the idea. So essentially, anyone who becomes a seller on Grown By, a farmer seller on Grown By. So Grown By has two sides of the platform. It's like Etsy or Airbnb. There's the farmer community and there's the shopper community. So if you join the farmer community and are selling products after your first sale on the platform, you're invited to become a member owner of the cooperative. So you can buy a member owner share, and then you are a Class A shareholder of the co-op. And essentially, at the end of the year, when we have a profitable year, the profits of the cooperative are essentially divided up based on use of the cooperative services. So based on what's called your patronage. So if your sales, just, you know, sake of simplicity, are 50% represent you know, 50% of the profits from the co-op from that year, then you would, I guess, be eligible to receive 50% of the net profit from that financial year for the co-op. So basically, they're divided up at the end of the year once we achieve profitability. And some of that, you know, is a cash dividend to farmers, and some of that is equity back in the co-op. So your ownership of the company actually grows over time.
Got it. And how many farmers so far are using the platform?
So we have 116 farmers that have signed up to use the platform since the end of March when we launched Grown By.
That's incredible. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about how the platform works.
This episode is brought to you by Garden Cult, garden design and coaching. Carmen DeVito is a professional garden designer, certified New York State landscape professional, and the founder of Garden Cult. You may also know her from HRN's home gardening videos and our series, We Dig Plants. Garden Cult is a culmination of Carmen's more than two decades of experience designing and building gardens in New York City. Carmen believes that gardens and outdoor spaces should be healthy, environmentally sustainable places that enhance the health of people, nature, and the planet. She knows how to help you maximize the space you've got, help you work with and make the most of the materials, plants, and trees that you already have, and create an outdoor place to use and enjoy for you and your family. Get started at gardencult.com. For a 15% discount on virtual garden consultations and coaching sessions, use code HRN15 through September 30th, 2021. That's code HRN15 at gardencult.com.
All right, we're back. This is Lisa Held. You're listening to The Farm Report on Heritage Radio Network. I'm talking to Lindsay Lesher-Shute, a farmer at Hardy Roots Farm in the Hudson Valley, who is also the founder of Farm Generations Co-op and Grown By. So, Lindsay, we were talking a little bit about, on the farmer side, ownership in Grown By and why that might benefit the farmer. Can you talk a little bit about how the actual platform works for a consumer? Like, what do they download the app and then can they find farms near them? Like, what does it look like on their end?
Yes, absolutely. So Grown By is an app. It's available on the Google Play or Apple App Store. Just search for Grown By, one word. And essentially, or you can use it on the web at grownby.app. And essentially, you can search for a farm right now. You can, if you know a local farm that you would like to buy from, you can search for that farm and see if they're signed up for the platform. If they're not, you can invite them. And essentially, you make create an account as a shopper, and then you go into that farm and you can purchase whatever they have available. So for our farm, that might be a CSA subscription. For Footprint Farm in Vermont, or Matt's Mushrooms, or many other better, what's Rise and Root Farm just joined. You can essentially order a la carte. So you can fill your basket for the following week. And then the farm has specified places where you can pick up your orders. So that might be at the local farmer's market, at the farm, or community distribution location. And that's about it, basically. You just order and you pick up, you'll get a distribution notification, reminding you when to pick up. And then the cool thing about Grown By is it's a single app for purchasing direct from any farm in the United States. So you could buy from, a basket from Rise and Root Farm and a CSA share from Hardy Roots Farm, a meat share from Northwind Farm, and do that all on the single app. So you have all of your orders together on the app, all of your pickup notifications and schedules. Mm. That's all together on the app. All of your invoices and financial, information is also on the app. So it just simplifies it. So it's like, you know, if you want to buy local, just go to the one app, and then you can shop directly from any of the farms that are participating.
Okay. And the actual transaction, the payment, happens within the app?
That's right. So exactly. So you fill up your cart and you check out. You can pay with a credit card, or you can do an offline payment if the farm has enabled that. And then you just check out and you get a receipt, and that's it. And then those payment methods, of course, you can use for any farm on the app.
Okay. So you were kind of testing this platform throughout the last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
During 2020. That's
right.
It was obviously a little bit of a weird year to be testing things.
It was a good test.
So were there any kinks that you had to work out? Like, were there any big challenges you encountered? Like, oh, that's not going to work for the farmer. That's not going to work for the buyer. Anything like that came up?
Well, the big thing that we learned last year, so we started to build the app actually when I was at the Young Farmers Coalition, National Young Farmers Coalition incubated Farm Generations Cooperative and Grown By. So we built sort of our alpha version there, and then we continued to sort of finish that work in 2020 just as the cooperative independently, and then did this beta test with 18 farms last season in 2020 with this original product. And essentially what we learned is that particular product, it was kind of like a Squarespace or Shopify, where you would go to the Hardy Roots version of it, and then you'd go to the Better Together CSA version of it, and the Organico's version of Grown By. And it wasn't an app, it was all web-based. And our CTO, Ravi, came on and joined the team last spring. And, you know, his big comment was, this is, you know, it has to be an app, and you're lacking discoverability. So you're not going to benefit from like the network effects that you can create when you build a platform that's really supporting community, right? A community of shoppers, a community of farmers together. And that was pretty clear. So actually, after we did the beta test last year, we built another product. We rebuilt the entire platform starting last summer as an app. And when I say discoverability, I mean, you know, you, Lisa, want to find maybe local fresh chicken. I don't know what product you might be looking for. And how we had built the app before, you would have to like know all the farms and you would know that they were using Grown By, but there was no single place to sort of look for that chicken. Now there is. You can go to Grown By, and we're going to incorporate this actually in the next couple of months, where you'll be able to search for chicken, or actually chicken is, I guess, the number one search thing for on the internet.
Oh, wow. That's interesting fact.
I digress. But anyways, you could also search for that on Grown By, and you could find all of the local farms that had that available for purchase. And then you could, you know, see who's nearby you. You could filter by certification and the like. So that was the core thing that we just felt like how we had structured it previously, it wasn't going to allow us to really showcase all of the products that farmers had available and really create that convenience for consumers, being able to shop between farms with a single user account, and also just to be very easily able to, you know, see all of the amazing things that they had for sale.
Yeah. Well, and that is a big distinction, because a lot of the software that exists right now is or apps are just like software programs that a farm can use on its own to sell its stuff to its customers, right?
That's
so
right.
This is kind of a big distinction that it kind of binds all these farms together on this app.
Yes, exactly. So when you purchase something, when you favorite a farm on Grown By, or you purchase something, you are a customer just of that farm. The farm, you know, unlike some of the other platforms such as Square is an example. You're not, that farm doesn't actually have all of your contact information, which, you know, creates some logistical challenges for farms that actually need to be in close contact with their customers. So we do, that is left intact, right? You are directly a customer of that farm, but you can also very easily become a customer with the same account to other farms as well. And the advantage is also we can market together. So the average shopper doesn't have to know all of the names of the farms around them. They can just, you know that they need to download Grown By, and then they can easily access all of the producers around, you know, their region.
Right. Was there any pushback on that in terms of like a farmer then would be competing like with another farmer on the platform that also is selling chicken in the same region?
I mean, there is so much opportunity to grow the local food market that at this point it's, you just can't really think like that. It's like, yeah, we all, you know, the tide lifts all boats, right? We need to all work together to get consumers excited about shopping local and buying local food. And when we do that, every farm should be able to succeed on this platform. When you think about it, like our customers for our farm are also shopping at all of these other farms too, because they're like local buyers. They love shopping local. And so it's really just making it easier for them. So, you know, maybe somebody buys beef at one farm and chicken at another farm. Grown By just makes it easier for them to do that. And, of course, as the platform evolves, we will learn and, you know, see how that plays out. But for most farms that I've talked to at this point, like, they're just excited to make things easier for their consumers. They're excited to have this community of farmers that they can work with. The idea of a co-op in the future, once we, you know, can really build critical mass, there are tons of exciting possibilities where the co-op can offer technical support to its growers to do crop insurance and the like. So we're really thinking about this as an opportunity to build the marketplace for local food, but also create a venue, a platform for deep collaboration between communities of farmers.
Sure. You mentioned also that you incubated this idea initially during your time at the National Young Farmers Coalition. How does this app specifically support young farmers?
That's a great question. So when I was at Young Farmers Coalition, we did a survey of our membership at the time, asking them, what can the coalition do to help your farm today? Like, you know, the Young Farmers Coalition does this amazing policy work. And sometimes that happens quickly, but sometimes it takes years, right?
Sure.
To get something done between administrations and whatnot. And we were thinking about like, what are some immediate tangible things that we can do? And actually technology rose to the top of the list of needs identified by farmers. And we got really excited about the idea of being able to create a platform that could support the membership. So that's basically where it got started, is young farmers identified this need that they knew they needed to sell their products online, and they wanted a platform that was able to do that better, just better technology, more appropriate technology, something that was affordable, and a company that they trusted with their data and their sales.
Makes sense. For sure. So we have to wrap up. Before we do, what's the goal in terms of how you'd like to grow Grown By? Just over the next few years? Like, what does this look like in 5 years?
Yeah, our goal in 5 years is to have at least 10,000 farms on the platform. So farms in every community across the U.S. are using the platform. Shoppers are downloading it and looking at it, you know, as the farmer's market that's on their phone, right? If you want to buy from a local producer, you open up Grown By and see what they have available, right? Grown By is an opportunity to build the marketplace for local food, right? So you ask about what is the benefit for young farmers. The benefit is that there will be a marketplace for local food in the future, right? We don't want to see this leveling off or going down. We've seen a precipitous loss of all farmers, and particularly farmers of color, over the last century. We do not want that to continue. And the only way we're going to reverse course outside of a crisis like COVID last year, right, is to actually do changes in the marketplace, in policy, and the like that are really supporting the long-term success of regional food systems. So that's what this is about. This is about growing the market for local food and making sure that if a young person wants to farm in the U.S., that they have a market to do that. They have consumers that are ready to purchase their products, and they have a cooperative of other farmers who are there to support them, and technology that can provide them that foundation as well.
Right. Lindsay, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. It's great to chat.
Thank you all so much for listening to the Farm Report on Heritage Radio Network. If you enjoyed the conversation, please subscribe to the podcast, rate it, and share it. Until next time, this is Lisa Held. The Farm Report is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Just enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.